Good evening and welcome to the Burst Review Show for February. With you live on Burst, absolutely live, which is lovely. Always nice to hear the IRN line as well.
It makes it sound like you said a dirty word.
It does.
Yeah.
Is Burst a dirty word? I hope not.
No, of course not. It's our lunch day. It can't be a dirty word.
No. My name is Kieran. And we'll be guiding through the Burst Review Show until 7 o'clock tonight, talking about some of the latest things coming up in music and film, and definitely a discussion about the Oscars. Opposite me on the table, you may have recognised from the Burst Review Show from January. However, I'll let you introduce yourselves, shall I say. I'll start with you there, Thea.
Hello, I'm Thea Østerholt. I'm from Norway and I study post-production editing.
And I'm Alison, one of the other Burst 2016 team members. I was here earlier on the launch show. Still here, still cracking on with the Burst launch. It's been a fun day. Exciting times here at Burst.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm a genuine state of really giddy tonight. It's quite nice.
Oh, and the new website has launched, which you've put so much work into, Kieran. It looks lovely.
Yeah, it was really beautiful.
I'd like to put in a credit for Sarah Stacey, who basically saved my bum a couple of times on
your brass. As
saved my brass.
As we mentioned earlier.
Wonderful. On the Burst Review Show this week. Coming up on tonight's show, we have a look at this week's big DVD release, the latest instalment of the 007 series. Good job this isn't live, isn't it?
Yeah.
Spectre. We reflect on the winners from losers from last night's big Academy Awards ceremony, and we review the latest tracks from Recreations, Yesaya, Swimmers, and Kanye West. So that's all still to come. We're very excited because this is launch day, after all.
Yes.
And we've got loads of great things coming up throughout the evening, including this. This is our first post-launch live event, shall we say.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice. Wow. Thank you very much for joining me, Thea and Alison.
Of course.
First thing we're going to discuss on the new music show, the Burst Review Show, is Spectre, which came out on DVD this week, the latest from the Bond series, Bond 24. We've watched it in sort of two staggered parts. Tara and I, we went to see it at the cinema back in October. And Alison, we watched it last night on DVD.
We did.
Firstly, I'd just like to get your initial thoughts on the film as a whole.
You know what? I feel like I just don't have a lot of great contributions to add to this, but the main things, even though I just saw last night, the main things that I kind of took away from it was I loved the scene with the cat. That was probably my favorite scene because the cat was like super fluffy and cute. And I felt that they didn't use the villain played by Christopher Waltz to their best because he's such a talented actor and he plays a really good villain. And like he's been in Inglourious Basterds and Django Unchained, which of course are Quentin Tarantino films. And he kind of has a certain wit with his villains, and he always kind of, I guess, has that character that way, but that's how Christopher Waltz plays it, and he always does it brilliantly. And I just don't feel like they added in that level of wit. They almost made him a bit too creepy for me as well, which I don't know, I just didn't feel like they used that actor to the best of their abilities.
He doesn't appear much in the early part of the film. I think when we were watching it last night, it said
it's
well over halfway through the film, and this is only the second time you've seen him on screen, and the first time it's just a little snippet.
Yeah.
So you say that you feel like you didn't use him to the best of abilities, maybe.
Yeah.
They haven't, without giving away too much of the film, there's potential for him to come back and do more of Bond.
Yeah.
Now that he's taken up the Blofeld, I'm putting in inverted speech marks, over the Blofeld character. Would you like to see him return in a future Bond film?
I mean, yes and no, because I honestly feel like based on the way they set it up, they're just going to keep going down that creepy road because that's kind of where they left it. Like him, sorry, spoiler alert, but he's like crawling away from a plane crash and he's so creepy about it. And it's like, I feel like that's where they would take it. They would just leave him as this really creepy, sinister villain. And that's just not his character.
No.
That's not what I want to see him in.
But you can see Christopher Walken playing a villain in various things. Was it in Inglourious?
Inglourious Bastards, yeah. And in Django Unchained, he also did a really good...
So he's definitely got a good character for villainry.
He does, but yeah, he's that villain that like you kind of love to hate. Like, you like him, but you know you shouldn't. It's one of those. But that's not how he was in Bond. It was wrong.
He was just a hateable character, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, Taya, Christopher Waltz in Bond. Do you think we got the whole of him as an actor?
I feel really bad about that because I literally can't remember him in the film. Was he the one around the table when they were having a meeting and Bond was like on the landing or something?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what he looks like. I can't remember. But then again, Scandal, I've also forgotten the cat scene, which would be a thing I would remember.
And that's the best scene.
It's quite a brief
that's
scene, isn't
it? That's the best one.
Is that at that house or that lady? No.
No, where it's where he's... sorry, again, spoiler alert, but where they're doing like the tests on him.
They decide to do a little probe on Mr. Bond about halfway through the film.
And it's in a very white room, like that classic stark, white, sterile.
Right, and he's got a cat. Yes. Like the sort of...
Like the Blofeld of old, where he used to sit on the...
Yeah, because there's always these people with like the white, sinister-looking cats.
That cat was not sinister-looking, it was cute.
It was a lovely cat.
Yeah, it was super fluffy, like to where the hair is just like sticking out. It's so cute.
So were there any elements of the film that stood out to make it quintessentially Bond, or did you feel it was maybe too much of an action film?
I did feel it was like extreme on the action. Some of it was stretched too far to be believable, which I struggled with. I just don't think my brain goes there. Like, I'm okay with the idea of when it's a superhero movie, like it's meant to be impossible. But here's this guy that's like, all this stuff should be possible, and they just stretch it a little bit too far, I think, for my brain. But a lot of the scenes were really well done and very Bond. Like, I mean, at the beginning they have the Day of the Dead scene where it's very lavish, and I'm like, I want to go to that. I mean, that looks awesome. And of course, yeah, they have the very Bond music where it's kind of that strings and then you hear the slight piano. It's very espionage-ish, but it's also that sound that you equate as like, oh, that's James Bond.
I remember when we went to see the cinema, Taya, you were extremely excited because almost about, I'd say about 20 or 30 seconds before the, you know, the circles come up and you see Bond shoot at the camera and it all goes red, you sort of got really giddy. You went, oh my goodness me, I'm seeing a Bond film in England.
Yeah.
Is that quite exciting? Because you're from Norway originally.
Yeah, it was quite exciting to sort of, it's always, you know, with those things that you watch them, because obviously we get it in Norway as well, and, you know, we get shows from the BBC and all that sort of stuff, so it's just weird seeing it, you know, when you watch something actually on telly in England, or, you know, Bond at the cinema, and obviously it also came out earlier in Britain than it did in Norway, so I could send a snarky text message to my dad going, I've seen Bond, you haven't.
have your parents sort of got a big thing for Bond? Is it quite big in Norway as well, right? Sort of more international?
Yeah, most people know about it, at least. My dad is a really big Bond fan. He would always watch James Bond when I was a kid. I hated it because it was just guns and running and shooting and stuff. So he was really excited when I told him that I wanted to watch the James Bond films.
That's cool.
Because I watched Skyfall with some friends of mine. And I really only went with them because I thought, hey, social cinema. Yeah. How bad can it be? and I really enjoyed it. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to watch all the Bond films. I think I'm up to... where am I up to? I don't know. I'm up to like the third person playing James Bond or something.
Oh, so Roger Moore?
Yeah, some like halfway through Roger Moore, I think. I've been to... I went to a post-production conference back in November where we got to meet a couple of the Bond editors.
Oh, wonderful.
And a sound designer, and look at like the scripts, the dialogue scripts for Living Daylights, who of course the Bond song was a Norwegian band.
It was.
So I'm really just looking forward to seeing that Bond film now so I can see that scene. But to be honest, I was a little bit underwhelmed by Spectre. I don't know. It was...
How do you feel it stood up to Skyfall, if that's right?
Not at all. Because, again, Skyfall made me... I don't know. I cared more about it, and I wanted to wanted to see more of it and see what this universe was about. With Spectre, it was more like, oh, some action and some guy, and I think Andrew Scott was in it.
Yeah.
And some stuff happened. And when I went out of it, it was like, what did I watch exactly? Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They nearly blew up London, maybe, or something happened in London. I just didn't really care what was happening. I cared about I really liked the scene with Q in the ski lift or whatever. He was in like a thing, and there was a bad guy, and he was sitting with his laptop, basically being antisocial with a lot of people. And I felt that on a personal level. So
I pretty much liked any scene with Q.
Yeah,
Q was my favorite. He made the film. I could have had more Q. It could have been the Q film.
Skyfall has more Q than I think we've seen in any film with Bond, because Q becomes a part of the film throughout. He's no longer the person for 2 minutes at the start of the film who gives him the pen. If you click 3 times, it explodes, or the Aston Martin with a parachute and a donut dispenser or something like that.
Yeah.
It's now more of a, he's more of a character, but in Spectre, he becomes an integral part to a chase almost in that ice.
Yeah.
Do you feel that Bond could improve with more Q?
I would definitely have more Q.
Yeah.
Although, give me all the Q.
In this film,
is it the Q or is it the Ben Whishaw, though?
Both, I think.
I think in this film, Daniel Craig is too old.
I was going to say,
he's too old.
Yeah.
And so, as much as I want more Q, and I guess we could start a new series and make sure we get Q from the start. But yeah, it's like, oh. And then they pair him with this, I mean, it's like he's in his late 40s, and they pair him with this girl that's probably in her mid-20s, and it's like, that's just, and they act like it's normal. It's weird.
Okay, take into account, little competition, not really a competition, but an argument maybe. Daniel Craig is now too old to do Bond, and this is his last Bond film, let's say. In the next one, who replaces him? And could it be Ben Whishaw? Could they revolve something in the story where Q becomes 007?
I would actually go see this. And I kind of like the idea of the Bonds of old, because I'm very into old films. Like, I just love watching them because there's just something about them. There's a lot more like showmanship in them, I guess. I guess because they didn't have all the sound effects and visual effects that we have now. But yeah, I'm just, Bond isn't like my thing. I'm not.
Okay.
It's very much a cult film, and it's not a cult that I'm a part of.
Okay.
But
who would you be happiest seeing replace Daniel Craig, even if it isn't, say, if it is a cult thing for you and not so much a series?
Yeah.
Who would you see in a future Bond film?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I would like the idea of a spin-off where Q became Bond, just because he was, I really liked him. I really liked his character. But yeah, I don't know. You know what? And I know people who know me, if they're listening to this, they're going to be like, oh, come on. I could see Andrew Garfield playing the next Bond.
I like that.
Because he's never played a big role with his English accent. Because he was like, I think he was born in America and then raised in England. So he has both accents very naturally, much like Christian Bale. I think he'd make a nice, I think he's very attractive, but I think he'd make a nice Bond.
Brilliant.
That's my vote.
Taya?
Oh, God. I have no idea. Bond. Oh.
So say Bond. I think Bond throughout all the films is 35 years old. My dad will currently be texting me going, oh, I think that's incorrect, Karen. He's actually 33. Or so. I believe he's 35 as a character. So Daniel Craig is, I think, 46, 47 when that was shot. Clearly not 35.
No, and he hasn't aged particularly well.
No, not as well as Christoph Waltz.
Right.
Was saying last night.
Yeah.
Who's aged a bit better and is a bit older.
Yeah.
Potential people for Bonds.
And instantly I forget every actor I have ever seen.
That's always the hard part.
Yeah.
I've heard suggestions of Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, I love him.
That's a beautiful sound you two made there. It was like a gasp and an ah.
He is an attractive man.
I haven't actually seen him in much, but...
Same.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see him as Bond. That would be interesting, yeah. Aww.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
No.
I don't know.
He doesn't have the face. He's too much of a cutie pie face.
Okay. Idris Elba.
Can't he be quite... sinister.
I like
sorry.
That.
Oh. Yeah, I'll just say sorry.
But I do feel like he's a bit old. Like, if we kept it, he's fine now in his age. And I love Idris Elba, but if we kept it going, then he'd get too old. We need to start
he's
someone who's like age appropriate, someone in their prime, okay. And then once they get to the last film, they're not too old.
I think the likes of Andrew Garfield and Tom Hiddleston are two quite good contenders there, potentially. Then.
So, yeah, people of Bond films, if you're listening, then, yeah, those are our
votes. Offer yourselves up, please. okay, final question upon Spectre. Got Skyfall in the head. Spectre was that last night, and we're going to come on to this in a second, last night at the Oscars, the winner of Best Original Song was Sam Smith with his theme tune for Spectre, writing on the wall. Do you feel that was a strong contender, not only for an Oscar, but for a Bond theme?
I'm just going to dive right in and say yes, because I have very strong opinions about this. I feel a lot of the songs that get commissioned for the Bond films, it feels almost like they kind of go to these artists and they're like, these are the strings that we need you to put in. Like, they kind of give them this checklist of, like, we need you to make it sound very Bondy. Mm. And so it almost, like, takes... It doesn't sound like that artist's song anymore. It just kind of sounds like a Bond song with Adele or whatever. And I particularly... I didn't like the Skyfall song because I love Adele, but it just didn't showcase her talents. It just sounded very Bondy. Whereas... And I wasn't... when I heard it was coming out... The Sam Smith one, I wasn't expecting, like, because I thought it's just going to be the same thing. It's not going to be a Sam Smith song. It's going to be a Bond song with Sam Smith. But I thought it actually sounded like a Sam Smith song, and it was really nice. And it did have a few of those Bond elements, but it wasn't overdone. So I really liked it.
Brilliant. Taya, yourself, do you remember a huge amount about the theme tune?
I do remember. I mean, I'm not really familiar with Sam Smith, but it was played in Subu all the time when we were storyboarding. So, yeah, it got pretty stuck in my head. But I had to, every time it was played, I had to go, wait, is that the Bond song? Or is it not? Because it didn't scream Bond to me. But at the same time, it really, yeah, wormed its way into my head and got stuck.
Earworm,
that's
what I call it, yeah.
A lot of the criticism for it was that it was sort of like someone had flicked through a How to Make a Bond theme book and then through half-hearted strings on it, maybe.
See, that's how I feel about all the others, and I feel the complete opposite about this. So,
you weren't a fan of Adele's one?
Yeah.
I'm assuming you feel this is slightly better then.
Yes, I feel it's a couple steps up. No offense, Adele. I love you. Yeah.
Take that, Adele. Alison has spoken. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's our little look at Spectre. If I did this last time when Michael was here with us. Sadly, Michael can't make it this time.
Aww.
But I did this last time where I got you to rate it out of 5. I'm going to give it out of...
Oh, do the kitties.
5 kitties. Yeah. 5 Blofeld kitties.
Very appropriate for Bond.
I'll go to Taya first.
What was it out of?
Five kitties.
5 kitties.
Inexplicably... 5 kitties.
It makes complete sense. That was the best part of the film.
Yeah, well, I kind of wanted to do like... Now, I'm going to go 3 kitties because I can't do a half kitty because that's just wrong.
That's inappropriate.
It is wrong.
Yeah, I'm not splitting
a kitty.
What about
3 cats and a kitten?
No, I'm going to go 2 cats and a kitten then because, again, I didn't care that much.
Okay.
But yeah, no, or maybe just three cats for Q. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do that.
That's cool. Alison.
I struggled with it. It's a good film. It's just not my genre. Well, it is my genre. It's just not, I don't know. Bond isn't my thing, I guess. So yeah. It's only going to be 2 kitties.
Okay.
And one of those at least is for Q. At least.
So the Q spin-off films.
Yeah.
They're going to get the 5 kitties, I feel.
100%, yeah.
I enjoyed
all the kitties.
All the kitties.
Just like, have you seen those kitty bouquets?
No.
Where you just grab a bunch of cats and it's like a kitty bouquet.
Kitties on the laptop for Q.
That'd be cute.
if Ben Whishaw was here now.
Yeah.
And he is, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Whishaw. No.
No.
I'm going to give it 4 kitties, mainly because I really like the Bond series. I really like the modern Bond films. No, it wasn't as good as Skyfall, which I'd give the full 5 banana, well, kitties. 5 kitties too, not bananas. But I felt it was a very entertaining film. And also the storyline didn't particularly suffer it. There is a lull in the middle, perhaps, when they go off to North Africa.
Yeah.
But it's got a great start. And definitely the London-centric stuff, I think, was made really well, especially near the end as well. So that's my 4 kitties. So that's a collective score of 9.5 kitties.
Oh. That...
Actually, no, it was a full 3 from yourself, Taya, wasn't it, for Ben Whishaw's appearance?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's go with that.
Cool. 10 kitties out of 15.
Wait, no. 9.
That sounds a lot.
3.
Oh, you were 2. Sorry.
4.
It's a good job this isn't live, isn't it?
It's a good thing I know how to do math.
Someone sorry. Can count. Yeah. That's good.
So there you go. 9 kitties out of 15 for Spectre. A round of applause, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, on that.
Your favourite thing.
I do like a good round of applause. Best radio. Okay, we'll move on now to talk about the Oscars, which got about 6 or 7 minutes to have a quick chat about.
Wow. That's okay. I didn't get too involved with it, so I don't have a whole wealth of knowledge.
Got our best critic on the show tonight.
Same.
The Oscars last night. Did you see many of the films which were nominated?
I've seen... I tried to look this up earlier just to see how many I'd actually seen.
Hmm.
I've seen The Revenant, okay. And I've seen Bridge of Spies, and Mad Max. And I've seen half of cool. Hateful Eight.
Hmm.
I couldn't make it through. But I will watch the rest of it. But I was having a fever and there was loads of people just shouting at each other and being nasty and I couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Did either of you see the winner of the Best Picture Spotlight?
No, sadly not. No, but I'd like to see that one.
It was. I went to see it about a month ago. So it is a stunningly well-made film about a tragically true story about Catholic involvement in Boston in the U.S. between about the 60s and the late 90s, early 2000s. And there's a newspaper called the Boston Globe, which is around at the time. And it's based on a true story of how they tried to reveal the story behind it and tried to break it without. A, being libelous, and B, trying to let anyone know that the story is being broken. It stars people like Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton is in it, Stanley Tucci. I like to say Tucci because for me that's a much. It's like the little pelican in Georgia Jungle's called Tucci. It's all like that. Tucci.
Yeah.
That's
not
most
tushy.
Distressing.
No, definitely not Tucci.
Stanley Tucci in. Spot. It's got a great cast. It was really well written. It also won Best Original Screenplay, which is very good. But yeah, won Best Picture as well. And this is just me saying, I widely recommend the film. I think it was very good. That's what I'm saying.
No, does it? I've seen the trailer.
Yeah, so I've seen the trailer and it did look good. I'm the worst at going to see the films.
I would give it about 4.5 kitties, let's say, were it a thing.
Newspapers.
4.5 newspapers. That's good. 4 newspapers and a little segment about what's happening this weekend. That's all. So neither of you saw The Big Short as well, which won Best Adapted Screenplay and was also originally favourite for the Oscar.
No, but I desperately want to see that.
Hmm. It's about the financial crisis and crash that happened in early 2008, late 2007 in the US.
And it's got a great cast as well. Mm. It's got, Steve Carell, Christian Bale... Who else? I remember
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, just seeing the cast was like, wow.
Steve Carell in it. It seems like they can't do anything great with Steve Carell until they add a comedy element to his hair or to his nose. In Foxcatcher, he was up for the Oscar last year where they put on a putty nose that made him look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Christian Bale, I mean, I'll come on to this in a second. I haven't seen the person who won Best Actor's Performance yet, but Christian Bale was stunning in it. So, yeah. It really is a film to see. It's really well made.
I really want to see it. I've wanted to see it since I first saw the trailer. But yeah, I definitely will.
Congratulations to Brie Larson, who is very cool in almost everything she's been in, from Community to 21 Jump Street over the last 10 years or so. She's won it for the kidnap thriller Room. She's won Best Actress. I'll just say thoughts upon that. Have you seen much of Brie Larson in many things?
I remember her name, but I can't remember her face at the moment. So I don't think I've seen her in much, to be honest.
Room is meant to be a very good film, but yeah. The only nomination I believe it got in the main categories was for Brie Larson in the end. But yeah, a stunningly well-made film. The other thing I'll say is that Mad Max won 6 awards last night, Mad Max Fury Road, mainly for costume editing, sound mixing, that sort of thing. Have either of you seen Mad Max Fury Road?
Yeah, did see it.
What did you think?
I liked it. I mean, it's not really my type of film at all, but I wasn't bored, which is good considering I don't really like that type of film. I must admit, I was bored for like the first couple of minutes or something when it was like just cool cars and action stuff. But then when the story started sort of coming along, I enjoyed it a lot more. Yeah, it was an interesting film. It was a kind of film that I didn't thought I'd like, and I didn't, when I was watching it, it was like, yeah, okay. But then when you sort of think about it a little bit more about, because I thought, what is this about? They go one way, then they go back again, and it's, what is it really?
Have you seen any of the original Mad Max films?
I know, I've seen nothing of it. So I had no idea who that guy was.
His name's Max. He's mad. But you know,
right?
It's very cool though.
But, yeah, it was the sort of thing that the more you think about it and look back at it, you're like, hey, that was pretty cool.
Awesome. We'll move on to the final thing which needs to be said about the Oscars.
Yes.
And that is that Mr. Leonardo DiCaprio, even BBC News this morning, their main headline was actually just 3 words: DiCaprio finally wins an Oscar. He's got it for The Revenant. Have either of you seen The Revenant?
I have.
What did you think?
I liked it. It was really beautiful cinematography, which it also won for, I think.
Yes, it's a man called Emmanuel...
something.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, yeah.
Old, I was like to call
good
him
old Emmanuel.
Manny.
Yeah.
Third year in row for winning. He won it for Gravity in 2014 and Birdman in 2015. He's now won it for The Revenant in 2016.
Yeah, because it's like the third time he's won in a row. Mm.
That's impressive. What I just said, actually.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I tried to resist a slightly sarcastic comment there. No. But yes, Leonardo DiCaprio's finally won an Oscar.
Yeah.
How cool
but
is this?
But as predicted, he did not get mauled by a bear.
No. That was a little flipbook.
Yeah, a little thing that was went viral on Facebook. I don't know if you saw this little flipbook that someone made where it's got Leo, you know, just like looking happy. They call his name. He goes up. He gets the Oscar. He's like ready to give a speech and a bear comes out of nowhere and just... mall, and then on the back it's like, you know, like in memoriam to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh,
so yeah, that didn't happen, thank goodness. But
I mean, he had a bad enough time in that film.
That's true.
Sleeping in a horse and
that's
getting
true, yeah,
really close
chased
to
by a bear for a start.
Chased by a bear.
Quite bad. The performances in the past that he should have potentially got it for, maybe Titanic or The Aviator or
The
Wolf
of Wall
Street.
Yeah.
I felt that his performance in Wolf of Wall Street was phenomenal.
I thought so too, because that cannot be an easy role to play. Like, regardless of how you felt of the film, it was quite controversial. You either liked it or you didn't. But to play that extreme of a role must be extremely difficult and challenging. So
he has a sense of trying to make films which are definitely relating to the audience, perhaps. I know it was a Martin Scorsese film, and this is a... Alejandro G.
Good old Alejandro.
I tried to pronounce it this morning. Old Emmanuel and Alejandro making those great films. But he works with people who definitely try to make a more personal story. I just thought it was very, very well made. And congratulations to Leo.
Should we give him a round of applause?
A round of applause for Leonardo DiCaprio. Steve Rockstar. That's wonderful. Okay, shall we have a little listen to some music?
Yes.
Best Radio.
Okay, music reviews this week coming up from 4 artists. These are ones that have sprung on you at the last second looking at yourself. So I'm going to play out the whole song and we'll have a little chat about it afterwards. That sound good?
Lovely.
Okay, first up is a band called Swimmers, and that's spelled SWMRS. They're from California. They have a new album out this week called Drive North. It's slightly punky. Hopefully it'll be all right. This is called Uncool.
Yes. NHD1, San Francisco.
Swimmers with Uncool. Rather nice to hear. Noah did not just run to the loo. I don't know why. I had a moment where I thought I could keep this professional and just arrive back in time. But no,
I really did arrive just in time, though.
It was really well coordinated.
Thank you. I'll give the bows again later on. thank you for running up to the desk in just the panic of Kieran's not back from the loo.
Yeah. So, it wasn't really in panic. I was like, I just kept waiting. I was like, oh, it's 20 seconds left. I'll go over there just in case.
Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
Let's go back to the song. Swimmers with Uncool. They're a new punk band. They've released a couple of self-made albums before. This is their first big one. It's called Drive North. What do you think of the song? That's good. It's good stuff.
It's not as punk as I was expecting when you first mentioned it.
No, I must say.
But no, I do. I really like it.
Cool.
I have my metal show here on Burst, so I like that kind of punk, metal, rock genre a lot, among other things. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was really kind of like fun and like thrashy in a bit. I guess it had that kind of rhythm in it to where you really could just kind of like bob up and down, I guess. But yeah, it did also have that very California vibe. So you could tell that they were from California, because although it was slightly punk, okay, it had that like California side to it.
Is there a difference between maybe East Coast and West Coast?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think West Coast, just it tends to be a little bit more laid back.
Yeah.
And so that's what it was. Like, it was a laid back punk. So you could still kind of feel that kind of like mellow. But yeah.
Groove.
I liked it.
Cool. I'll tell you, I'll touch yourself.
I have no idea what they were singing about, but I liked the guitar-y bit in the middle. The melody of it.
Yeah.
Which I've now forgotten.
But it's
yeah, it was like skipping around me a little bit, which was a nice feeling.
Wonderful. So I got a new album out, which is now called Drive North. I'll get your views on it. I'll go around the table again. Taya, we'll start off with you. Out of 5 surfboards. Remember when we did this last time?
We had to pick we could do cools, because the song's called Uncool.
Out of 5 cools, there you go. That's better. What would you give it?
I don't know. Maybe 3 cools or 2 cools and 1 uncool.
Okay. Cool. Not cool. Question. Alison.
I'm going to give it 3 cools and 1 ool.
Oh, that's nice. So it's a sort of a 3.5.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'll give it the same. I'll give it about a 3.5.
Yeah.
3 cools and a half. 3 cools and an ool.
Well, you can do a cool and I can ool. So it makes one whole.
It makes
cool.
A whole.
Yeah.
That's nice. So we're 7 between us. Was it a sort of a 2.5 around there from?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. In the middle. Because. Yeah. Didn't hate it, but I will probably forget it when I walk out of here.
Good work. wonderful. So that's about 9.5 or so for Swimmers.
Yeah, 9.5.
Good stuff. I'll have a round of applause for me, anyhow, because we're applauding everything this week on the first review show. The second one I'm quite excited for. This is by a guy called Sam Duckworth, who has worked under the name Get Cape Wear Cape Fly, and is sort of evolved that name into a new name called Recreations. He's done some acoustic-y solo stuff by himself under the name Sam Duckworth. This is a lot more laptop beat driven and in an sort of an emo-ish way, but still very much pop punk, you could say.
Oh.
Acoustic pop punk is what I'll call it. A bit Frank Turner, Sean McGowan of the type, Billy Bragg maybe as well. This is off his new EP, Digital Ghettos, and this is called Shake It Off.
I feel dead inside after too many pints. I break down and cry. I'm a man in my prime. You're a teenage girl making sense of the world, and yet we feel the same, just masking the pain. So throw out your grey, it's the 70s again. A disgruntled you
You're a feminist, and you won't go amiss. You want equal rights, and your mind is locked and loaded, and you're ready to fight. It's a different world.
So that is from Recreations, formerly the name Get Cape Where Cape Fly, and from the artist Sam Duckworth, who has produced a wonderful little EP called Digital Ghettos, and that is a track off it called Shake It Off. Could you shake that off of your playlist?
I would shake it on my playlist.
Yeah, it'd be a very serious look there, Alison, sorry.
Oh no, sorry.
You would shake it on your playlist?
Yeah, I really liked it. It, like, the beginning, the sort of plinkily plonkily bit, made me really happy. So yeah,
one sort of a muted electric piano keyboard.
Yeah,
sound,
like sort of again. Then when the vocals started, and it just made me want to dance.
Oh, brilliant, Alison.
That was very much my vibe. It was. It's not something that I would. It's not something that you go, oh my gosh, that was amazing, and that you instantly go, I have to download this and, you know, listen to it on repeat. But it's one of those where you kind of get a little bit excited when it comes up in the playlist.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's one of those where, yeah, when you're just doing something mundane and it comes on, you're like, oh, that's fine. Yeah.
It's fun to jump about to a bit.
Yeah.
Fun waggle.
Have you, oh, I'd love waggle.
The waggle.
After last month's show, the old waggle is back.
Oh, yeah. This Wonderful. Is a waggle song.
Well, I know what we're judging it by in a second. I love Get Cape Where Cape Fly. I love Sam Duckworth's work. I've been into him since I was about 15 or so. Hopefully this is a bit more of an introduction for you guys.
Definitely.
He was part of a, you could say a band, but it was more his own work. He produced and composed and sung and sort of made the beats for his own work called, the band was called Get Cape Where Cape Fly. And they were stunning. They made four fantastic albums as well. And he sort of, he retired the name and brought out like a slightly incomplete album. He was going through some illness at the time. And he retired the name back in 2014. He did some solo acoustic-y stuff, just him and a guitar most of the time and the odd bit with a band in the background. And now he's back with his new creation called Recreations. Recreate, sort of thing. The EP is out now, still Digital Ghettos, and there'll be an album, we've been promised, later on in the year. I'm hugely excited for, because I'm a big fan of his. So I'm thrusting it upon you today. Listen to more, basically. We'll judge it out, Waggles. We'll go to Taya. We'll go to Taya first. Sorry. I pointed at Alison and I said, Taya. It's going well tonight, Taya.
Hey, nobody knows on radio.
That's good. Yeah. Until I said
it. Now
until
they
you
do.
Said it. Well, yeah, that's all right.
How many Waggles, Taya?
I think I'm going to give them four Waggles.
Cool.
Because, yeah, Waggle, 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 Waggle.
Would you listen again?
I would. I would definitely listen again. I just have to write down the name, although it had duck in it. So,
Recreations, Sam Duckworth.
Duckworth
is the artist. Yeah.
Duckworth. Oh.
I'll send you a little message.
Sounds like it. Yeah, it sounds like a duck with a top hat. That's lovely.
That's exactly what they're going with, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Alison.
I'm going to give it the same 3.5 waggles. As the previous one. Okay. I liked it about the same. They were both good.
Brilliant. Fantastic. I'm going to give it, and same as last time as well, I'm going to give it four waggles.
There you go.
So there you go. That is a collective score, 11.5 waggles, and a round of applause for Mr. Sam Duckworth. Recreation. Okay, what I expect will now be a complete stop of applause, I've thrown in something else into the mix from the new album, which has come out and is streaming. It was released for about 6 hours. I managed to get in that 6-hour period on an actual download, which is quite nice. Mr. Kanye West.
Should I interrupt you now?
Why would you be interrupting me, Alison?
Is that what I'm supposed to do?
Why ever would you interrupt me whilst talking about Kanye West?
Am I supposed to now go, I'm sorry, Kieran, but Beyonce had the best video of all time.
That's sort of what I was leading up to.
Beyonce had the best video of all time.
Okay. Well, we'll skip over that. The next song is by Kanye West. Life of Pablo. Yeezy. Mr. West.
Yeah.
Is back. The album is called The Life of Pablo. This is the lead single off it. This is called Real Friends.
Friends, how many of us, how many of us, how many jealous? Real friends, there's not many of us. We smile at each other, but how many honest? Trust issues, switch up the number. I can't be bothered, I cannot blame you for having an angle. I ain't got no issues, I'm just doing my thing. Hope you're doing your thing too. I'm a deadbeat cousin, I hate family reunions. The church up by drinking at the communion, spilling free wine. Now my tux is ruined. In town for a day, what the we doing? Who your real friends? We all came from the bottom. I'm always blaming you, but what's sad, you not the problem. Damn, I forgot to call him. I thought it was Thursday. Why you wait a week to call my phone in the first place? When was the last time I remembered a birthday? When was the last time I wasn't in a hurry? Tell me you want them tickets when it's game time. Even to call your daughter on the FaceTime. Even when we was young, I used to make time. Now we be way too busy just to make time. Even for my
real friends, I guess I get what I deserved on her.
Word on the streets if they ain't heard from her.
I guess I get what I deserved on her. Talk down on my name, throw dirt on her. I couldn't tell you how old your daughter was. Couldn't tell you how old your son is. I got my own junior on the way, dog. Plus, I already got one kid.
Couldn't tell you much about the fam, dog. I just showed up for the games, dog.
Maybe 15 minutes, took some pictures with your sister. Merry Christmas, then I'm finished. Then it's back to business. You wanna ask some questions about some real shit? Like, I ain't got enough pressure to deal with. Please don't pressure me with that bill.
Cause everybody got them that ain't children. Oh, you've been nothing but a friend to me.
Thinking I'm crazy, you defending me. It's funny, I ain't spoke to d- in centuries. To be honest, dog, I ain't feeling your energy.
Money turn your kin into an enemy. They ain't billers, they pretend to be. Looking for
real friends.
Real friends.
How many of us, how many of us are real friends? To real friends, to the real end. To the reals, to the wheels don't spin.
Yeah, yeah.
To 3 a.m. calling. How many
real friends?
Just to ask you a question, just to see how you was feeling. How many? For the last, you was frontin'. I hate when it text you like, what's up, fam? Hope you good. You say, I'm good, I'm great. The next text, they ask you for something. How many?
What's best for your family, immediate or extended? Any argument, the media extended.
I had a cousin that stole my laptop that I was on. Pay that $250,000 just to get it from him. Real friends. Eh? Real friends. I guess I get what I deserved on her.
Word on the streets if they ain't heard from him.
I guess I get what I deserved on her. Talk down on my name, throw dirt on him.
I was saying there that it's probably the saddest song Kanye's ever produced. From the album Life of Pablo, Kanye West, Real Friends. It's very reflective, a bit like his track that came out in 2010, Runaway, was very reflective as well, where he says, you know, I'll quote this in context. He says, could have a quick second for the assholes, because he felt he was quite... he had disrespected many other things in his own life. He just wanted a second to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I loved that song, by the way. Like, that
Runaway.
Was... Yeah.
Hmm. What do you
I
think
don't
of Real
love
Friends?
All Kanye songs, but yeah. I liked it. Mm. I think if I listened to it again and like really got the lyrics, I think I'd probably appreciate it more. Because like you said, it is a very like true, meaningful song. So I think I'd connect with that. I loved the ending. But it didn't have anything just like that really struck with me from the get-go. There are a lot of Kanye songs that, yeah, that I do like. But yeah.
Have you heard The Life of Pablo? Yeah.
I haven't.
Mess of an album.
I haven't.
If it was a demos album, if he had made it in 2 weeks, it would be the greatest album ever made in 2 weeks. But it took him 3 years.
Yeah. Well, and you just never know what to expect with Kanye. He's an interesting guy. I saw a tweet the other day and I was like, yes. And it had said something like, one day Kanye is just going to put an album out with nothing on it. And all like the fans are going to be like, yo, I can hear something. That was brilliant. I could hear it. And everyone else is like, come on.
There's nothing there. Taya, you were saying during the song that you haven't heard many Kanye West songs before.
Not really. I mean, I've probably heard them, but in the sort of, oh, it's on the radio, I don't really know what I'm listening to kind of thing. No offense.
Thanks. Yeah. That's a radio station.
I really like the sort of backing, like the general, what do you call it, sound blanket?
Beat.
Or
maybe.
Something. Yeah, and, no, like the musical.
Very
bits,
ethereal song, I guess, in a sense. Synth-wise, it's very ethereal.
So, yeah, it was sort of nice backgroundy thing. I'm really bad when it comes to lyrics to songs. Like, it takes me a lot of times to listen to a song before I actually start paying attention to the lyrics because I'm more of a melody person.
A lot of time, this song is about how you don't have any real friends in the world, or he feels he doesn't, and then you find some real friends and they just want a favour from you. He talks about how his cousin stole his laptop as well, which happened recently, and charged him $250,000 to get it back, and Kanye paid it because it was about demos on the album and things like that was on the laptop. Strong lyrically, but he's been stronger. We're saying about a couple of songs from his past.
Yeah.
Specifically Black Skinhead.
Like, I really enjoy that song. I know it's offensive. I mean, I get where he's coming from. I think in today's day and age, it's trickier because there's a lot going on with that issue.
Yeah.
That to say certain things or play certain roles, you kind of get cast in a certain light. And it's like, I'm all about equality.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I stand on it. I think a lot of people have taken things in any kind of issue where it's like, let's put other people down to make a sequel. I'm not really cool with that. But at the time when it came out, some of those movements hadn't started up. And I don't know, it's got a great beat. It really, it's fun.
Yeah.
As horrible as that could be, it is a really fun song.
We'll go over to the ratings. We'll do it out of 5 Kim Kardashians.
Oh, no.
Okay, we'll do it out of 5
broken
Grammys.
Stolen laptops.
5 stolen laptops. I can't believe that. That's great. Good work, Taya.
Nice save.
Taya first. 5 stolen laptops. How many?
I'm really boring. I'm going to give it a 3 again.
Okay.
Because,
We can communicate to you with the next song a bit more. Hopefully you enjoy the next song.
Oh, no, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm just stingy with my broken laptops. Stolen laptops.
As you should be. I mean, he paid, what, $250,000?
Yeah, so I mean, it's really, it's a good to really love.
It's a big, it's a big deal.
But I think it's probably one of those songs that once, if I've listened to it more times and sort of listened to the lyrics more, because they sounded really sad, then I would probably give them a little bit more.
Wonderful. Alison.
You know what? Just because A, I want to break the cycle, and B, I want to give it a little bit more hope because I do feel like lyrically it has potential to resonate with me.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it 4 stolen laptops.
Ooh, no, I know. 3.5. It's a 4.
I was going to do 3.5 to, but it's like I just don't want to keep it the same, and I feel like there's potential for it to grow.
Okay, cool. I am going to give it a 4 as well. Which I think I've given all 3 songs 4 so far.
We should have switched. You could have taken my 3.5 and I would have taken your 4.
Because I think it's a very powerful song. It's probably the best song on the new album. And the new album as a whole, I feel, is a bit of a 4 out of 5 album. Whereas the last 2 I really enjoyed to the point of maybe a 5.
He's actually had, 808 Heartbreak?
Yes.
I loved that album.
Oh, really? I always thought that was sort of one of his weakest.
Really?
Yeah.
I really liked that album. Okay. But then again, that's it before I knew who Kanye really was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So it's a collective score of 11.
Woo.
What did Recreations get again?
11.5, I think.
Oh, so it's in second place this week. Mr. Kate, he won't like that. He won't like that, will he? Second place.
He doesn't like much of anything, though.
Second place.
At least he got a lot of stolen laptops.
Yeah.
To make up
to pay for those.
To make up for that one.
Oh, dear. So there you go. We've given Kanye West 11 out of 15 for Real Friends. Final song, which we've got to just quickly rush through here. I just did that as if I was looking at my watch. I'm not wearing a watch. So this is Ye Seh. They've been around for a while. Their new album's out on April 1st. This is a track off it. The album's called Amen and Goodbye, and the track is called I Am Chemistry. from the new album Amen and Goodbye, which is out April 1st, a month tomorrow, or around that time, will be Yeser, and that song is called I Am Chemistry. I'll open up the floor to Taya.
I really liked it. I really liked the beginning, which I have now forgotten, but I remember that I liked it. And I really liked the ending with like the singing and the piano thing.
Yeah,
it was very nice melodies. And just, I'm so bad at describing things, but it was like a feeling, like a universe feeling thing.
Galaxy. Very universal, yes. Like ethereal again.
Sort of like that, yeah.
Oh, cool. Wonderful. Alison, go to you as well. Yay, sir. From, again, the west coast of the US, I believe.
Yeah, I loved it.
Brilliant.
I absolutely, like, it just kind of hit all the boxes for me.
Hmm.
It had, like, an element of pop. Definitely something that you could catch on to. It created its own world, which I loved. Like, it made that song its own. It was brilliant.
Wonderful.
So many beats, so many layers. The singing was good.
It does feel like it moves in chapters as well. It's sort of like you get about 3.5 minutes in, that kids' choir comes in out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's brilliant as well.
It's like you're walking through, like, a fun house with, like, mirrors and stuff hanging from the ceiling.
Really
it was cool. A bit of a soundscape.
I love that description, by the way. Sorry, Alison. You seem distressed about description, Tay. I think it's brilliant.
Good.
Sorry, Alison.
No, you're fine.
What were you saying?
it was...
Sorry.
It was a soundscape of a song.
Okay.
Like, it captured so much.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. We'll go with the old out of so many...
Walter Whitman's?
Out of so many Walter Whitman's. I wasn't expecting that, I'll be honest.
Yeah, that was a jump.
We'll go for it.
Because of the chemistry.
Oh, that's very good.
Clarifying.
That's very good, yeah. Let's go with it. How many Walter Whitman's? What are we giving it first, Alison?
Five out of five. It's strong.
I'm liking it.
I feel like I've already downloaded this. Just from listening to it. It's great.
Brilliant. Taya?
I would give it a 5, but I lost my attention span a bit in the middle. And again, I need at least another listen to actually pay attention. So I'm going to give it 4.5.
4.5?
With a half pending.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. I am going to give it a 3.5. Mainly because I think I need to hear more Yeser stuff. I've got an album of theirs, which is very good, which came out about 2018 called Odd Blood, which is very enjoyable as well. There's a great track on there called Amblin' Alp. I recommend that as further listening for Yeser. So yeah, 3.5. So we're giving it 8. It's a 13 out of 15.
So they win.
They win.
They win.
Our track of the month is Yeser with I Am Chemistry. A round of applause for Yeser. With second being Recreation Shake It Off, third being Kanye West's Real Friend. I don't think we can really call swimmers the losers here, because they still got 9.5 or so, didn't they? So
yeah,
that's still an appreciative thing, isn't it? So yeah, a round of applause for all our guys. Thank you very much for joining me on the Burst Review Show. We'll be back again at the end of March.
Yeah,
to discuss all sorts of things.
And happy launch day. Happy leap year day, or whatever you want to call that.
We'll go with leap
launch
year day.
Leap year day, yeah.
What have we got coming up for the rest of the night then? At 8 o'clock?
At 8 o'clock we have Sarah's full Irish show. So kind of, she planned it kind of around St. Patrick's Day, but we've just been playing it. It's been great.
We've just been going with it.
Lots of Irish music. It's fun.
And she's going to be doing more of that in the near future, apparently for St. Patrick's Day as well, which is very exciting.
Yes.
9:15, you'll be introduced to the world of Shemek. once again, as we'll be hearing Leanna's Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, Something Blue with Mr. Shemek.
For context, he is our resident unicorn. So, lovely personality.
We don't need to say any more on that, do we?
Yeah, great guy, lovely personality, one of a kind.
If you missed our Burst launch special earlier on at 2 o'clock, you've got another chance to hear it. Just gone 10 o'clock as well tonight, the Burst launch show, which is very exciting. And then at midnight, Midnight Metal.
Yep.
We'll leave this to you, Alison.
It's just a repeat of episode 4. So if you missed it last Friday at midnight when it normally goes out, there will be a repeat tonight at midnight. Because why not? It's leap year day. It's launch day. It's a very exciting time. And yeah.
Brilliant.
Also, if you miss anything, you can always find it on burst.co.uk. The newly redesigned website done by both Kieran and Sarah. It looks amazing. So definitely go check it out.
Very excited for it as well.
And so just all of that stuff is already, most of it's already up there. If not, it'll get up there soon. And yeah, it's just good fun.
We're going with it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you again. Thank you very much, Taya.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Alison. I've been Kieran Thompson. This has been the Burst Review Show. And thank you very much for tuning in on launch day.
Yay.
Yay. Burst Radio.